It doesn't matter how long the problems in this world have existed and how long the problem in your life has existed. Once you understand the power you have, and once you understand the authority that you have, then you no longer need to be a captive of Satan, or a captive of demons, or a captive of curses, or a captive of poverty and lack and sickness and disease. You don't have to be a captive to anything, because whatever we bind, whatever you bind on earth, whatever you stop and forbid is stopped by heaven. Whatever you loose, whatever you allow is allowed by heaven. Welcome to Think Like a Champion, a podcast dedicated to help you win in every way and enjoy every day. And we're going to win, and we're going to enjoy today. This is the day God has made. Let's rejoice in it. Now, listen, before we dive in, I want to thank everyone who's written a review or shared this podcast on social media. Thanks for helping us expand our community of champions, because that's what we're building, a community of champions, and can't do it without you. So every time you post or leave a review, it really does make a difference in helping us reach more people. So thank you, and please keep on sharing. Now let's dive right into today's content, because I want to show you how to overcome fear and how to build confidence in uncertain times. What should we be doing in uncertain times? What should we be doing if these are the last days? You see, we're in a very unique global moment where there is war in various places, economic turmoil, political unrest, there's evil and senseless murders and heartless people. And when we read about all this going on in the world and we hear about all this going on in the world, we're essentially reading what the scripture has already said will happen. So if I just read to you from 2 Timothy for a moment, and again read out of chapter 3 where Paul says, but realize this, know this, we have to come to a realization of this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. So when somebody asks me, are we in the last days? I simply ask them the rhetorical question, are we living in difficult times? If we're living in difficult times, we're living in the last days. Now, it may be the beginning of the last days, the middle of the last days, the end of the last days, but we are living in difficult times, which is more pertinent to our discussion than whether it's the last days or not. If you can learn how to live in difficult times, you'll learn how to live in easy and good times as well. But notice what he says marks these times. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, which are truce breakers, and reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then one nail in the coffin of the description of this generation, he says, holding to a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then Paul says, avoid such people as these. Now, before we try to avoid such people as these, we need to try not to be such people as these, right? That's really, we need to avoid being that kind of person before we start avoiding that kind of person. And he, right in the center of this is unthankfulness. And included in here is lovers of money. I want to talk about money a little bit. I want to talk about gratitude a little bit as well. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, very powerful scripture, Jesus says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, we're hearing about those, aren't we? We've been hearing about them for many years. But he said, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Notice what Jesus said. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be troubled in these when you hear of all these things happening, because the end is not yet. Then he says in verse 7, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. All these, he says, are the beginning of sorrows, meaning the beginning of the sorrow as described when a woman is in labor. It's the beginning. She starts to feel the kid kicking. She starts to feel contractions. It's not the time of birth, but it's getting close. This is what Jesus is describing. It may not be the end, but it's getting close. Now, what we need to do, though, in these times is Jesus gives us the secret. He said, don't be troubled. Listen, we have to stop letting the things around us trouble us. We have to calm the storms within, and we'll no longer be affected by the storms without. And this all came in this topic on our podcast, Think Like a Champion. It came up because I've had people ask me, does this mean we're in the last days? And why aren't you talking more about the last days? Why aren't you talking more about Israel and what's happening around the world? And really, if we talk about faith in God's promises and talk about God's faithfulness, we're talking about the right things, because no matter what's going on around you, if your confidence is in God's faithfulness, you're going to have peace. If your confidence is in what's going on around the world, you're going to lack peace. We have to stop worrying and start winning. We have to stop whining and start winning. Boy, whining is a big thing in our world today. So many people are complaining about what's going on, complaining about the problems in life. But you know, you can do something about the problem in life, the problems in this world. We can do something about it by winning the battle of our mind, by winning over the battle for personal responsibility, not blaming people for our condition. So if we win the battle of the mind, we win over personal responsibility, in a sense, meaning we stop blaming others and just take responsibility for our lives. Personal responsibility is real. It's a real joy. It brings real joy. When you own responsibility for your life, you're no longer negative and blame-shifting and mad at the world, but you're content within because you are taking responsibility for what is happening in your life. The sense of control over your own life, it's called self-control. And God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and self-control, or a sound mind or a disciplined mind. So we have to stop whining and stop worrying. And how do we do that? We do that by taking control of our thought life. We do that by getting a hold of our own mind, winning the battle of our mind, and then winning over the blaming that we have a tendency to do as human nature, and winning souls. So it's all a bunch of winning. We got all sorts of winning going on here, because there's two things that are going to happen in life. You're going to win and you're going to learn, but you are not a loser and you're not going to lose. You might fall, but you get back up. We're winning or we're learning. But how do we stop worrying? Well, the Bible tells us prayer is one of the ways we stop worrying. We look at the birds, Jesus said, and watch how your Heavenly Father feeds them. Do we even look outside long enough to see how birds, every one of them are, if not middleweights, they're overweights. You know, most birds I don't usually see skinny birds. How about you? In other words, they're eating. They're not starving. They're not struggling for food. Whether it's worms or whether it's you throwing out bread, God is providing for those birds. And Jesus says, stop and look outside. Take a look at nature. Look at the birds. You know how they come now with, instead of watching a commercial, they'll take you to a nature scene on some platforms if you're as you're watching television. And I love the nature scenes because it shows God's creation. And when you see how fluid and how beautiful God's creation is and how he provides for everything that is alive in this world, he'll provide for you because he values you far more than the birds of the air, and far more than the lilies of the field. Boy, this will quench worry fast when you start realizing that God is providing. And if he can provide for the birds, he'll provide for you. And if we look to the scriptures, we'll find peace when worry is coming against us because of all this going on in the world. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, I love this passage in verse 32, don't be afraid, little flock, for your heavenly Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. He said, your heavenly Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom, so sell your possessions. Don't be afraid. Don't hoard. Don't hold on to things. Sell. Give to the poor. Provide for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither thief can break in and steal, and moth and rust cannot destroy. Notice there Jesus is saying the way to be free from fear is to make eternal investments. He's saying that he's chosen gladly to give you the kingdom, and don't be afraid, little flock. He's chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. And not only does he choose to give us the kingdom, but notice the Bible talks about how he gives us the keys to the kingdom. Now, if anybody knows what it's like and remembers what it's like to be 16 years old when you first got your driver's license, how many know that you might have got your driver's license before your parents let you borrow the keys? You know, because just having a driver's license doesn't mean that you're ready to put the keys in the ignition and start the car or push the button now, right? But we have to realize that sometimes because of our childish mindsets, not childlike. Childlike is good, to be trusting like a child, but not to be whining like a child, complaining like a child, throwing tantrums like a child. See, God wants to give you the keys of the kingdom, but he wants to make sure that you use the keys in the right way. So sometimes I wonder, why aren't there more miracles going on in the world? And there are many. Why aren't there more healings? Why aren't there more miracles? Why aren't there more evidences? And sometimes it's because God can't find a lot of people he can trust that he can give the keys to. But I want you to see that Jesus says something very powerful in Matthew 16, because I believe the most important thing that we can do in the last days or the first days or the middle days or the before the days, after the days, the most important thing we can do is understand how powerful that we truly are as human beings and as sons and daughters of God. We understand our power. You know, all negative emotions, you've maybe heard me talk about this before, but all negative emotions come from a sense of powerlessness, right? So if you feel powerless over your past, you feel this emotion of guilt and shame. If you feel powerless over your present situation, you probably have a tendency to feel depressed because you don't feel like you can do anything about your present situation. If you feel powerless over your future, it brings fear because you don't know what the future holds. So we see that every one of these emotions are rooted in a sense, every negative emotion is rooted in a sense of powerlessness. But Jesus says to Peter, and by saying it to him, he's saying it to you and me as well. He said, I tell you, Peter, you are Peter, you are a little stone, but upon this rock, this big bedrock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell can prevail against a government. The gates of hell can prevail against a human. The gates of hell can prevail against politics. Gates of hell can prevail against the economic system and businesses. But the gates of hell, the one thing that holds back the gates of hell, the one thing that the gates of hell cannot prevail against is the church. When you are connected to the body of Christ, even the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. And Jesus goes on to say, boy, this is the safest place to be, not in a quote-unquote church building, but connected to a church family and being involved in kingdom business. Because when you get involved in kingdom business, seeking first the kingdom of God, making a priority of the kingdom of God, he said, all these things will be added to you. And Jesus goes on to say in this passage in Matthew 16, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God is telling us that we have the keys, that he's giving us the keys. Keys open doors. Keys lock doors. Keys turn the power on. Keys represent authority. The word key in the Bible here is the word to bind, to take captive, or to imprison. Let me take you to a little story here that'll help you get ready to walk in your power and walk in your authority. Luke chapter 13, verse 11, it says that a woman was there who was 18 years. She had a sickness caused by an evil spirit. For 18 years, she could not stand up straight. She was bent double over and could not straighten up at all. I know there's some days I feel like that, but this lady felt that for 18 years. And verse 12 says, but when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Jesus just told Peter in this other passage, hey, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. And then Jesus demonstrates this in Luke chapter 13 and says to this woman, woman, you are loosed. You are loosed. You're no longer bound to this infirmity. You're loosed from it. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. And look at what she did. It says she glorified God. You know, when we see the more of God's power, we'll glorify God more. And God wants you to see that. He wants us to see that. But let's go on, verse 14. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, self-righteousness, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And this is so ridiculous. The religious people are more concerned about keeping the rule of the Sabbath than they are about this woman that's been sick for 18 years in this condition by an evil spirit binding her. And he goes on, the religious person says, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on one of those days. You see how heartless religion is? But not on the Sabbath day, he said. And then in verse 15, but the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath day untie his donkey or his ox from the stall and lead him away to water him, even if it's the Sabbath day? Verse 16, he goes on to say, so ought this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, Jesus says, think of it. For 18 years, she was bound by Satan. Shouldn't she, as a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? You see, the devil had bound this woman with sickness. Now, not all sickness is because of the devil, but some is. Some sickness is just bad choices that people make. Some sickness is unexplainable, and we won't know really until we get to heaven. But some is demonic, and it's not God's will for you to stay bound in that condition. So Satan bound this woman, but Jesus loosed her. What is Satan bound in your life? Joy? Have you been bound and forbidden from experiencing joy, peace, blessing, health, wellness, a sense of empowerment to know that God is good and to know that he's on your side? Well, whatever Satan has tried to bind, you have the power to loose. And in the same way that Jesus said, woman, you are loosed from this affliction. You are loosed. He declared over her, you are loosed. Boy, no matter what's going on in this world, no matter what is crippling the world with fear and anxiety and stress, we don't have to be bound by that. We can loose ourselves from this bond. We can loose ourselves. We can bind the devil, and we can free ourselves and our family members. Jesus said in John 14, 12, he said, the works that I do, he said, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works will he do, because I go to the Father. Jesus said that we'll do greater works, not greater in power, but greater in number, because he was one man, and we are the body of Christ. We are his body. He was the head, and he was able to accomplish so much in the 3 years of earthly ministry, but he said, we're the body of Christ, and he said, greater works, we'll do more works than he did. We'll see more breakthroughs, more miracles than he did, but we have to understand our authority. We have to understand our power. You see, no matter what's going on in this world, when you tap into the power that you have, really, we're not trying to create more power. We don't need to, because God has given us all the power we need. Let me tell you about some of the power that you have, because once you understand how powerful you are, what kind of authority you have, then you will stop being bound. Something that has bound this woman for 18 years, Jesus loosed her with one sentence and laying hands on her. He said, woman, thou art loosed. He laid hands on her and she straightened up immediately after 18 years in that condition. It doesn't matter how long the problems in this world have existed and how long the problem in your life has existed. Once you understand the power you have, and once you understand the authority that you have, then you no longer need to be a captive of Satan, or a captive of demons, or a captive of curses, or a captive of poverty and lack and sickness and disease. You don't have to be a captive to anything, because whatever we bind, whatever you bind on earth, whatever you stop and forbid is stopped by heaven. Whatever you loose, whatever you allow is allowed by heaven. See, not everything is up to God. God has left some things up to us. He's given us the authority. He's given us certain responsibility, but he always gives us the power to handle that responsibility. We just don't realize it. There's a verse in the Old Testament, I think in Hosea, where he says, my people, God says, my people are destroyed, not because of a lack of power. He said, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. We have a lack of knowledge of our power. We don't have a lack of power. You don't have a lack of power. You might have a lack of knowledge. You might not be aware of the power you have, but that's why you're learning to think like a champion, because we need to become aware of our equipment. We need to become aware of our tools. We need to become aware of our weapons. A lot of times we're losing a battle emotionally, spiritually, financially, because we're not using the weapons that God has already given us to prevail and to forbid Satan and to permit and allow heaven's power to flow into earth's existence and into our lives, no matter what's going on in this world. You know, there were a lot of problems 50 years ago, 100 years ago, but people that believed God. What about 1,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, but people that believed God, whether it was the children of Israel, whether it was Moses, Joshua, Caleb, David, Solomon, all these men, Gideon, Samson, Ruth, Rahab, all these people walked in God's power. They discovered a limited amount of God's power, and yet God gives us so much more power as new covenant believers. Listen, once you understand how powerful you really are, miracles start happening. The earth starts shaking. You start walking with confidence. Let me tell you, let me give you some of your power. Let me reveal to you some of the power you have you might not have even known. First of all, you have the power to pray. In James 5:17, verse 16, he says that the prayers of a righteous man avail much. You have the power of availing prayer, prevailing prayer. The prayers of a righteous man prevails much, one translation says, avails much, one translation says, accomplishes much. I think the New American Standard translation, the prayers of the righteous accomplishes much. Some of the reason why we're not accomplishing much is because we're not praying with authority. We're not praying like the righteous. In the name of Jesus, I command Satan to take his hands off of my children, off of my grandchildren. Whatever it is that you are being oppressed by, take authority, take dominion. You have the power to pray. Number two, you have the power to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, pursue love, but desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. And Acts 2:17 says, and the sons and daughters of God shall prophesy. The Spirit of God will come on them, and the sons and daughters of God will prophesy. You have the power to prophesy because you're a son or daughter of God. What does that mean? It means declare forth, speak forth words of life. Speak forth the promises of God. You might say, well, that's not going to do much. That's not going to stop the wars in the Middle East and the famines and the earthquakes. But what it can do is it can shift and shape the things that are happening around you. You have the power to shape and transform and bind and loose. I know the devil wants to tell you, and defeated mentalities, deficit mentalities, mentalities of lack and deficiency and inferiority and poverty are constantly trying to speak to us since the time we were children. But we have to speak back to those things. We have to prophesy back, prophesy to those dry bones, God said to Ezekiel. He didn't say, move aside, Ezekiel, I'm going to prophesy to these dry bones. He didn't say that. He said, you prophesy to these dry bones and they will live. You do it. You have the power. You have the power to prophesy, to speak forth the promises of God. Number three, you have the power to power through. You have the power to endure. You have the power to prevail. You have the power to get God to move on your behalf. You know, Jesus said something amazing. I love this verse in Luke chapter 18, verse 7. I'll read this to you. from the New King James, the King James Bible. He said, shall not God, she talked about this unrighteous judge, this woman kept crying out, give me legal protection, give me legal, and he wouldn't do it. Finally, she just kept persisting. That's what you have, the power of persistence. We can call it that. You have the power of persistence. But she kept saying, no, you got to deliver me, you got to deliver me. And she wore this guy out. He finally said, I don't even respect her and I don't fear God, but I'm going to give her legal protection because she's going to wear me out. And notice what Jesus said, learn from the unrighteous judge. Shall not God, now God's not an unrighteous judge, God's righteous. He said, shall not God avenge his own elect, his own children who cry out to him day and night, though he bears long with them? Will he withhold? No, he said he will avenge. He will avenge you. You have the power of persistence. You have the power of persistence. Wow, you have the power to pray, the power to prophesy, the power of persistence. So far, all those start with a P. You have the power to prosper. You know, when you realize that prosperity and abundance is not something that comes to you, it's something that you do. You give, and it will be given back to you. You see, you have the power to prosper by being generous. You have the power to have abundance by being generous. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You have the power to prosper. You have the power to speak life. We already talked about that a little bit when we talk about the power to prophesy, but he says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And number six, if I gave you six, maybe seven, you have the power to win souls. Proverbs 11:31 says, he who is wise wins souls. God's called us to win souls, not arguments, to win hearts, not politics. I know that you're going to vote when the elections come around, and you should, and we should be responsible people. No matter where we live, we should be people who exercise our right to vote. But don't limit your authority to who is elected. Don't limit your authority to a political side. Take dominion. Take dominion by using the power that you have. And we have the power to get wealth. We don't have time to cover all of this in this podcast, but I'm going to get to this. In Deuteronomy 8:18, God says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Now, wealth has a purpose. God's purpose for wealth is to establish his covenant, to get his message out to more and more people, to get the gospel out to more and more people. Now, please understand also, wealth is so much more than money. It can include money, but wealth is wisdom. Wisdom is wealth. The power to pray is wealth. The power to forgive is wealth. When you realize how much power you have, you realize how much wealth you actually have. Well, there's so much more to talk about when it comes to how much power that we have. But if I can close by saying, let's not forget that we have the power to forgive. Let's not forget that we have the power to lay hands on the sick and to see them healed. Let's not forget that we have the power to plant seeds and get harvests. Let's not forget that we have the power to get up when we've fallen. Boy, when you really understand your power, your authority, you stop being afraid of what's happening in the world, and you actually start taking control of what you have control over, and then trust God with the things you don't have control over. Take control over the things you have control over and trust God with the things you don't have control over. And you'll see joy and a life full of faith and encouragement. The Bible doesn't say the last days will discourage us. It says encourage one another with reminding them that the times are getting closer and closer to the Lord's return, but we must occupy until he comes. Well, we're out of time for today's podcast. I want to encourage you to listen to this again When you feel discouraged, when you feel uncertain, it'll build a foundation in your life of confidence. Share it. Please take a moment and share this with someone who needs to hear it. And subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Subscribe to the podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you to those of you who give. We always like to give it forward, pay it forward, to give to help others, to give and help reach more people. So thank you in advance for those who give, and thank you for those who already have given, and you continue to support this ministry because this is a ministry. We're not trying to sell anything. We're trying to get the gospel spread. We're trying to preach the gospel to all the nations and all creation and make disciples of all the nations before Jesus returns. If you'd like to give and be a part of getting the gospel out to the world, go to lifechangerschurch.com/give, and I want to thank you in advance, lifechangerschurch.com/give. Remember that God is still on the throne and that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and when you realize that, you will continue to think like a champion and live like a champion because that's who God said you are. God bless.